Welcome to Beer Field. I am your host, Chris Hopper, at Beer Field Hop with two P's on X, at Hop134 with two P's on... still saying X screws me up. At Hop134 with two P's on Threads. Welcome to week two. We're coming off of week one. We'll recap all of that. We got a week two preview for you and kind of the new preview light type of format that we're doing. At Beer Fuel Theory is here. We're being joined by a returning at Ryan Miner underscore FFB.
Hi.
I'm echoing. Why am I echoing?
Oh, it's my phone.
Yeah, stop that.
On it.
Hate that shit. Stop it. God, Ryan.
Sorry.
Quit. I just dadded you. I'm sorry.
Even on the oldest one here, I'm
spray him through the thing. Spray him through the. You gotta spray him with water through the.
I've got one around here somewhere. I would totally do it too. I've got one somewhere.
Why did he take that angle?
Oh, episode 450, by the way. Happy milestone episode, guys. We got 50 left.
Woo!
Yay!
50 more weeks.
50 more weeks. This is our last week too, assuming we line everything up right. Yeah. So you know what we're doing, you know who we are. Let's go ahead and talk about what we're drinking.
What's fueling Beer Fueled?
All right, why don't one of y'all start for me?
I'll go first.
No, Dan goes first.
I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
No, it's fine. I am
watch a football game.
Tis the season of Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers. I am going back to pumpkin and going with New Holland. This is Ichabod, their pumpkin ale, New Holland, out of Michigan. I can't remember where in Michigan. Ryan, do you remember?
Holland.
Holland. Yeah.
It says New Holland. People say, think, oh, I'm going to New Holland. I'm like, no, you're going to New Holland.
You're going to Holland. Yeah. I guess it makes sense just given the name. So, yeah, I'm drinking their pumpkin ale. Considered one of the best around here. But yeah, it's Han Solo season, so it's time for pumpkin beer.
And I'm going a different route. I'm going something that's normally designed for a colder beer. So Pollyanna, Schultenheimer. I don't know how to say this. It's an Eisbach. So
bless you.
Yeah, it's an Eisbach lager. So for those that don't know, an Eisbach is essentially a Doppelbach. But that undergoes something called freeze distillation, which is where the wives tale of this type of beer is that the beer would freeze during the cool winters there. But what happens when it freezes is you actually end up concentrating a lot of the alcohol and a lot of the flavors, and that's kind of the traditional ice box. So it's basically a supercharged Bock with really concentrated flavors and really, really high ABV. So this one's 10%, which is actually on the lower end. Style can range all the way up to 14%. Some concentrate to 33%. So
Jesus,
you can get this beer up there. Oh, and Pollyanna's out of Chicago, Illinois.
And I'm drinking Old Nations Brewery Oktoberfest. Ooh.
Old, I can't remember if I've had Old Nations Oktoberfest or not.
I haven't, so.
All right.
First time I've seen it.
Well, we'll let you know how those are about halfway through the episode. We're going to do some news now.
News.
Thursday night football check-in. By the way, we are watching this as it goes. 7-3 Vikings in the second quarter after kind of a crazy start. So for those that are somehow uninitiated, you shouldn't be if you're listening to the show. Vikings-Eagles is Thursday night game, so we won't be talking a whole lot about that. Let's go ahead and get into the news, starting off with the biggest news of Monday night.
Of everything.
Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles 5 plays into his Jets career.
Four.
Four. Well,
75 seconds into it.
Sorry, that was a meme that I saw. That's like five snaps in, fifth one being his Achilles. We don't make fun of injuries here.
We do not.
Even Aaron Rodgers, he's done for the year. Zach Wilson's going to resume starting duties. He led his team to a miraculous victory. After coming off the bench.
Miraculous victory. What miraculous. The hell?
What?
Sorry. Just the game being drunk.
Oh, okay.
Much like Zach Wilson was on Monday night after the game.
Oh, he was fine. The way that they were hating, the way Aikman was hating on him was totally undeserved.
At this point, it's kind of a joke. But that touchdown throw to Garrett Wilson was
a great catch.
Did he get bailed out?
He got bailed out. He put it a little long, but Wilson made a great catch on that. Garrett did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are worse situations you could be in with a backup quarterback than Zach Wilson. I will say that.
I agree.
He didn't look that bad either. He didn't look bad. As bad as everyone.
He didn't look great. He didn't look bad. He looked like Zach Wilson. Like he looked exactly what I expect him to look like.
He looked better than last year, though.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets probably are to some degree hoping that wishing they still had Mike White, but you know,
I've seen, I think it's been a circle of all the veteran QBs being linked to the Jets now. Like someone wrote an article that there's potential talks to like Ben Roethlisberger coming back. I'm like they're literally throwing any veteran name out there
hoping it sticks. And the reality is that it's probably not going to be some big name coming back to.
It's going to be a backup quarterback.
They're going to sign a backup that's better than Tim Boyle and that they could rely on if Zach Wilson falters. It's not going to be some big name coming back. I mean, when you're thinking about this, think about guys like Joe Flacco. That's probably the area which you're going to end up.
They should trade for Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew in a trade, yeah. If Matt Ryan, who's not officially retired, would come back, I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, impacts of this, expect the Jets to be more run heavy. Breece Hall looked really, really good in his return and limited work. Dalvin Cook seemed to be fine. You're going to temper your expectations on Garrett Wilson here. Alan Lazard actually... You know, you're going to temper that and you're going to roll with it and we'll see what happens. The problem here is that Nathaniel Hackett isn't a good OC either. He just works with Aaron Rodgers because he's just like, okay, Aaron, do what you want. So that's why he's there. So this is going to be a problem, but you know, temper your expectations, you know, Wilson, Garrett will be fine. Zach will have streamable weeks and expect a lot out of the running game. I mean, the defense is this team's bread and butter. That team's bread and butter anyway. So,
yeah, it's not going to be great. It's not going to be great for fantasy. Obviously, as you mentioned, Garrett Wilson's the only viable option here for the receivers. Obviously, you know, Breece, I'm told he's not even 100%, and he looked
amazing.
He would have housed.
Oh my God.
He would have housed an 83 yarder had he been 100%, no doubt, easily. And the fact, if Garrett Wilson didn't celebrate before his block also, but we won't talk about that. The Jets can't.
Weirdly, we're talking about this and there's a Ryan Fitzpatrick commercial on.
I know. Beautiful. The Jets are in a really, great position taking on that win from Buffalo. Obviously the team that won the division the last couple of years, an important game in hand to have. I've been thinking about how the Jets are going to handle this situation. And I think we won't know, obviously, with this week. I know it's week one, but this is such a competitive division and conference that you can't even take even these early games for granted.
Thank Jordan Whitehead being a thorn in Josh Allen's side for that one.
Allen reverting back to what Allen's been.
Well, there were two arm punts, and then one really bad one.
And this isn't really dunking on Allen. This is... I mean, you have to live and die by the type of quarterback Allen is. And this, again, just goes to show that Buffalo needs to find, you know, more compliments as pass catchers out there too.
No, I agree with that. I mean, outside of Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, you're a little thin. So
you mean outside of Diggs, you are extremely thin.
Yeah, and it shows.
With all the, yeah,
both tight ends.
You think I was going to give Gabe Davis praise? No,
both tight ends did mix in pretty nicely, though.
Yes, yes.
I will say that. I mean, that's what you're worried about if you were expecting a Kincaid year one breakout. But both tight ends did mix in pretty nicely and had some value.
Not like we had any good tight ends this week in general. So
no, if your name was Hayden Hurst, and you didn't do good.
I think he was the only one that scored a touchdown, and then he threw Bryce Young's football into the stands.
He got it back.
It's just like, what are we doing here?
The fan gave it back.
Week one, but you're drunk.
Yeah, well, and you had to the two highly drafted tight ends go inactive in week one.
Yes.
So you paid up.
They had the same amount of points I did.
You just got nothing. Yeah.
Jesus. I love it.
The other torn Achilles, because somehow it's Achilles now and not ACLs. J.K. Dobbins tore his Achilles. He's going to miss the rest of the season. So you expect the Ravens to, first off, sucks for Dobbins.
I feel horrible for Dobbins.
Oh, big time.
He has produced when he's been healthy. This is a hard injury to come back from. This is why running backs do what they do to try to get multiple years, right? Because this is like the worst case scenario.
And this was his contract year, obviously recovering from the ACL injury from a couple of years ago. I don't think his career's done, but I think best case scenario is going to be he's Deonta Foreman. Like, he's going to have to try to, like, betting on Dobbins is going to be very, very difficult from a dynasty standpoint, just given the history of these Achilles injuries. I know he's young, but it's just also team, you know, what team's going to give him that. It's going to take at least a year. Like, we've seen how long it takes for players just to get their burst back. They're on the field and they're playing, but they're not explosive anymore. And, you know, that's what Dobbins lived off of.
All right,
in space.
So this is going to be the biggest question. So people are going to have, you know, redraft, he's done, we're dropping him, we're moving on from him.
Yeah.
Dynasty, what are you doing with him?
You're stashing him. You're throwing him on IR.
You're praying that God someone gives you a third round pick for him. And then
you're waiting to see what, But, I mean, I'm stashing him on IR, and I'm waiting to see what happens in the offseason, because he's talented enough to where I don't think you're going to, that hype's going to be murdered should he land elsewhere. But
I
it's
just
tough. Yeah. Somebody will bet on it, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't like, the only time you drop him is if you play in super shallow dynasty league, small bench, and you have an IR spot. Like,
and if
like,
you do
have
that,
IR spot,
are
that's
you
free.
Doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as optimistic. I like Dobbins. I just, the history, you know, of these Achilles injuries, how long it takes for these players to get back to full explosiveness and be able to do what they need to do, it takes multiple years. Like I said, I think best case scenario is Deonta Foreman, and I'd be happy with that. Especially Dobbins just being able to have a longer career, you know, but it could be like Marlon Back. Maybe he gets lucky like Cam Akers, but Akers tore his Achilles his second year, going into a second year, not in his contract year. So it's
So
I feel horrible for him, but I'm just being honest. It's just I'm trying to flip them.
And Cam Akers
wasn't
exactly
be out there
bounce
trying to
back. So
exactly, and it's just, it sucks. And I hope I'm wrong. 100% hope I'm wrong. I'm a numbers person. And I don't
know. Now for redraft, obviously everyone was running for Justice Hill. I would just implore you.
Gus Edwards.
The Ravens are going to go hot hand Gus Edwards, and they're also going to promote Melvin Gordon in deeper leagues. So.
Justice Hill was just a lighter Cam Akers. He also looked pretty bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, get one of them if you need running back help. You turn them if nothing comes out of it, but get one of them. Obviously, Justice Hill is who everybody ran for. Gus Edwards in a lot of dynasty leagues is going to be rostered and redraft.
Yep.
He might be available. Melvin Gordon's going to be the forgotten one. Why not? Right, it's a veteran
presence. I agree with you.
We've seen guys get second wins in that Baltimore running game before. Just why not?
Right, I agree.
So, okay. Anything else on Dobbins?
No.
All right, Puka Nacua. huge game and newly questionable as of Thursday with an oblique injury, not practicing. So if you went out like
overhyped,
like I did, and spent some fab on Puka Nacua, then you got a problem there. I know 15 targets ain't overhyped, man. You get 15 targets, like, and Cooper Kupp's out for an undisclosed amount of time, and they need somebody. Like, sorry, you run at that, but you know it wasn't a great matchup for him this week anyway. But now I doubt he even plays with a late week missing practice level injury.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you hope he sits and gets healthy. Obviously, the Rams really need their wide receiver one right now with their wide receiver two and IR. So,
yeah,
seeing that joke, and I've seen that floating around now too.
That's silly. But
yeah,
I mean, here's the other thing, right? I'm guilty of not doing my homework on Nacua. He is a big dude that was relatively athletic. We've seen the Rams support multiple receivers before, so if he could string together some good games, then, you know, who knows, right? I mean, we've seen the Rams do it with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, or Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and then Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp, where they can support two in that offensive scheme, especially because they don't throw to tight ends or anybody else. But, you know, he's got the size and the makeup to do that and to be a compliment to that. But, yeah, you got to be healthy. So, I highly doubt Thursday is just a rest day, right? So
yeah, plus we have a lot of one-week wonders, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's just a one-week wonder.
Tutu Atwell is your one-week wonder out of that game.
I wouldn't exactly run with that.
All right, we got a question anyways.
All right.
Travis Unlimited wants to know, like Ryan, he's a Lions fan.
Hello, Travis. We're not.
He thinks
friends.
He's blinded by bias, okay, but he wants to trade ETN for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He also has Austin Eckler, Kenneth Walker, and I can think we all can say in unison, trade for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah, all day, every day, twice on Sunday, three times on Tuesday.
Running backs are volatile. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be locked in easily as a top.
If you could pull this up, wide receiver, I don't think the other person accepts this, but if you can,
if it was me, I
would be like, no. But if you can pull this off, absolutely. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amon-Ra is a smash. ETN is great. He's fine. But as Hopper mentioned,
running backs are volatile.
As we just saw, you know, anything and everything can happen to him. Amon-Ra is the Lions offense, is the Lions passing game for sure. So,
yep.
Yes, 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 yes. Right.
All right. And Ryan, we could debate Puka Nacua. The fact is we got one game worth of material to use here. So let's just roll with it and see what happens.
Let Hopper have fun, Ryan. Come on.
Let's just roll with it and see what happens.
Don't we remember what was that one Jaguars receiver who had a kick ass week? It was
Keelan Cole.
It was before Keelan Cole.
Well, Allen Hurns had a really good season, and that was it. It wasn't just one week.
It was like it was like his name completely like disappeared afterwards. We're all trying to chase the next
you're all
the old Cowboys
right?
receivers. The old Cowboys receiver.
Oh yeah, the one that he did it week one also.
Miles Austin. Yeah, we're all hoping to find a Miles Austin here or Justin.
Yeah, you hope you find a 1 year wonder instead of a like Allen Hurns, Keelan Cole, back half of the season, guys like that, versus a one-game wonder. And the fact is that Cooper Kupp's missing time. What are you looking for in week one? Where's the target volume? Okay, you get 15
targets. How much
did
you spend on fab on him, Hopper? How much fab did you throw on him? Percentage standpoint, if you can, yeah. Because I think you should. Lines.
What percentage are you comfortable with? And I'll look it up.
I would be no more than 15.
Right,
oh my God. I saw him go for 51.
I mean, like, yeah. And that's the thing. It's, yeah, that's like, unless you plan on trying to move him after he had other good weeks after, you know, before Kupp comes back, but 15% would be where I'm comfortable with him.
So, didn't Sleeper put something in here where you can see
whatever your fab budget is and just obviously,
well, no, where you can see his availability and other, yeah, okay,
I found
it. Hold on, So
I mean, I even took it to Twitter where like people spent as little as $10 and then a lot of them spent $100 on it, like all of it on Puka Nacua. And I'm like, it just seems, I couldn't do it. I could see like in the like a rotisserie of like, you know, where it's like random order.
I got him in one. I got him in one league. And
I didn't even bid at him. That's how much I did not want him.
I mean, I threw bids. Like, I agree with Hopper. Like, I'll
throw bids. Yeah.
I'll chase the targets if I don't have to spend up. The better question is would be this, Ryan and Hopper, is if you're not playing in Fab, which you should if you're not, and you're using waiver claims. Now, waiver claims that reset every week based off standings, yes, I use it on them because
I got them for 5% resets. 5%.
Perfect. That's it. Absolutely.
That's nothing.
That's absolutely what you want to do.
Yeah,
but if you had waiver claims that didn't reset, touchdown Justin Jefferson. Oh, he fumbled out of the end zone, I think, actually.
Oh,
this looks really awkward. Did. This looks okay. The season at the one. Sorry. Waiver claims that don't reset every week, I would be hesitant to use it on him or even Kyren Williams, as I'm sure we'll get to as well.
Yeah.
There's Nacua's got, there's upside to it, obviously, especially short term.
He injured his oblique, so.
It's an oblique, nice. Yeah. And that's
oh, boy.
Yeah, a wide receiver probably more so than, like, a quarterback that might be okay. But
No, because you do up this extending.
Yeah, really it's going to be a range of motion really and a pain thing.
Yeah.
He totally fumbled through the end zone. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're distracted. That's I okay. understand.
Unlike me, you're actually here. So last week I wasn't.
He totally fumbled through the end zone. God damn it.
I'm watching now. Let's see.
Is it a safety?
It should be. I don't have sound on, obviously.
Or
but
did he fumble out at the one?
I can't tell.
The angle I just got wasn't good. I got the
side. So they ruled him down at the one.
I got the sideline angle. I can't tell if he fumbled over the pylon or not.
No, because it's under 2 minutes, so it's obviously automatically overviewed. I think it's fumbled to the end zone, personally. But maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, you're going to timeout, but yeah.
Anyway, yeah. No, I think I actually think that fumbled out at the one.
I hope so.
Down. I don't
they
think
ruled them out at the one, but it's the camera angles that aren't doing it justice.
Balls
so.
Out. Yeah, I don't know. That he either fumbled just inside of the pylon or out of the one. It's a fumble for sure. Balls out.
Oh, yeah. But either way, we can die.
We can move on. I think he fumbled out of the end zone. I think you're right.
I think he fumbled out of the end zone.
Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, both not practicing with hamstring injuries. Aaron Jones, as you saw, if you watched the Bears game on Sunday, pulled up after a touchdown run. Christian Watson still not practicing after missing most of last week. Expect both these guys to not play. A.J. Dillon's a direct handcuff to Aaron Jones. That's probably all you're interested in there. Anything on that?
No interest in the Romeo Doubs 2 touchdowns again?
No.
Or is that just more of the Bears' bad defense?
It's more of the Bears sucking.
Yeah.
That was, I felt bad after watching the Vikings game for how poor they played. But, man, like, I was with Chicago. I know you did, Ryan.
I
was like, fuck Green Bay. I'm in on it. And then see one of the worst, like, cult games I've ever seen. That's rough for me.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Dobbs 4 for 26 and two.
Thanks, Rocky. Says he loves our show, guys.
Thanks,
Rocky. Appreciate you.
Hell, what was I going to say? 10% beer, man. Oh, this is also my fourth one of the night. Not
it is an ice box, dude. It's an ice. Yeah, they're all very, very high ABV beers.
They are,
as you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Anyway,
was it getting colder down there?
So come back.
Here comes the call.
Damn, it took him that long.
Over the pylon, out of the end zone.
There you go. Touchback.
Jesus, 3 turnovers, Minnesota. For fuck's sake.
Jerry Jeudy, full participant practice. He's set to make his return. Austin Eckler is not practicing with an ankle injury. Joshua Kelly actually looked pretty good on his 16 carries for 91. And, I mean, Seahawks defense, but
And he also split the carries. It was just even split 16 to 16 with Austin Eckler. So that's a good thing to look at. Plus Austin Eckler being injured.
Yeah, Joshua Kelly with should
Miami?
Be
Miami. Against Miami?
Right.
Yeah. Against I was, Miami. I was, yeah, yeah. No, you're good. You're good.
But yeah. No, I'm with you, Ryan. Joshua Kelly should be rostered at this point. That's how they want to run this and try to protect Eckler's volume and everything. Is if he's going to get 16 carries and you're going to roll with it.
And he's the one I bid for in all my waivers.
I got a different guy that I bid for on a few places too. Dan will love it. Kyren Williams.
I don't
talk about him later.
I teed it up for you. It's fine.
We'll talk about him later.
Yeah. We can. Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins has missed two straight days of practice with an ankle injury. So he actually had 13 targets, which I was not expecting. So he may actually end up with his normal target volume, even though production wasn't necessarily there. But this could be a veteran thing. He doesn't necessarily need to practice, but at the same time, like anybody that's veteran, off days are normally Wednesdays, not Thursdays. If you don't practice on Wednesday and you're a vet, I don't care. If you don't practice on Thursday, I'm a little concerned. So watch that tomorrow, basically.
And he's been historically, especially the last few years, he doesn't practice. Like historically does not. He doesn't practice as often as I think most do. So
right.
I would obviously, as you said, you know, keep an eye on it for tomorrow, but I fully expect him to play.
Yeah. So this next note involves another guy that I was hot on my waiver wire. We'll get there though. Steelers say Deontay Johnson could miss close to 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. Deontay Johnson says he's day to day. So depending on who you believe, but Allen Robinson pulling 8 targets for 60 yards with Deontay set to miss time is not something that I hate. So in really there are a couple of places where waivers ran and he was still out there. So I just went through a turn spot on him. Like,
yeah, might as well.
You might as well. If he's got a history and if he's going to get, you know, 8 plus targets in volume, then the way injuries are happening, the way that, you know, some guys like Brandon Cooks, for example, came out kind of flat to start the season, then why not? It's kind of what you're looking for. And if he's consistently that, then it's a fine depth piece to have. So that's kind of what you're looking for. Don't always look for the high performer. I mean, Allen Robinson wasn't registering as somebody that went out and like, oh my God, I'm running to my waiver wires because he had 2 touchdowns or split carries and we didn't expect that. But that's a pretty nice day when you're going, you know, 8 targets, 6 receptions and 60 yards or whatever it was. So,
yep.
Especially in PPR.
Exactly.
But yeah, Deontay Johnson's probably going to miss time. I believe the Steelers more than I believe Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
It's like, could it be 2 weeks? Could it be 3 weeks? Is it really 4 weeks?
They didn't put him on IR, so I don't. I'm thinking my gut says 3. So,
yeah.
Because the Steelers' statement was it could be up to 4 weeks, but they didn't put him on IR. So that kind of tells me we're probably looking closer to 3.
Yeah.
If he's feeling better, maybe 2, but they might protect it. Greg Dulcich is not practicing hamstring injury. He's expected to miss time. Adam Trautman is his backup. Once again, my public service announcement on backup tight ends, don't go run out and pick up immediate backups for a guy that you thought was going to be productive because they'll just go away from the position.
Actually, you had it backwards. Adam Trautman was the starter and Dulcich is the backup.
Sean Payton has an infatuation
with good old
Captain America. For those of you that don't know, Player Profiler for a long time had a picture of Captain America for Adam Trautman. So
do they still?
I have no clue. I haven't looked at it in a while. But they have an affinity. They fucking love Trautman. By they, I mean Sean Payton.
But I mean Sean Payton getting Adam Trautman. It wasn't just Adam Trautman. I mean, look how many other ex Saints are there. Will Lutz, little Jordan Humphreys. It's like, who else is going to show up?
Lil Jordan got activated.
Got a touchdown. He got a touchdown, too. Yeah. Our boy. Oh, we loved him, man. And then he had one of the worst.
And then he ran a 4.7 combine.
Oh, God, it was so bad. It was, I was like, all right, well, I guess we don't like this Texas guy anymore.
No, I loved this film.
Oh, we loved him, man. Oh.
He was great until he tested athletically.
It was great until he solidified his 6th-round pick.
Yeah. Until he Kyren Williams himself.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. Kyren Williams. Oof.
We'll get there. Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell's missing week two. You already know that. I hope otherwise, too late.
DJ, you can watch.
Yeah, DJ Chark returned to practice after missing week one. Targets were pretty split in week one for Panthers wide receivers. I believe Hayden Hurst led the team in targets and receiving. Other guys were not far behind. Mingo and Marshall, for example. So just something to watch with Chark returning. Still waiting for something to shake out there. Panthers will also be without cornerback J.C. Horn. He's going to miss extended time with a hamstring injury. This is normally don't talk defense. J.C. Horn is a really, really good cornerback, and missing J.C. Horn for the Panthers actually opens things up quite a bit because there's not a lot of depth behind him. So it's good news for the Saints this week, especially with their offense looking competent with Derek Carr at the helm.
Did they look competent against Tennessee?
Well, competent comparison to what they looked like last year. It's a curve.
I'm not sure. I say this not just tongue-in-cheek. I don't know if you're aware of this, but DirecTV and CBS are in contract disputes. So none of the bars in town here had any games that were nationally broadcasted on CBS.
Nice. Seriously?
Yeah. So the first year where the TVs can decide who gets what for games, the Vikings game was supposed to be the national broadcast on CBS. We didn't get to watch at Cousin at the bar that we watched their games at. So
and
we didn't get to watch the Saints game either because the Saints game wasn't on there either.
And also with Sunday Ticket going to YouTube TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake Elliott hit a 61-yard field goal.
Yeah.
The Eagles can't pass to save their life today besides that one throw, but the running game's getting them in there. But yeah.
Yep.
Three turnovers and 3 points is unbelievable. Vikings are, as Hopper said before the show started, extremely lucky to only give up 3 points on three turnovers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Solid
defense.
Yeah. Kelsey and Andrews are both back at practice. Jacoby Myers is still in concussion protocol following a massive week one performance. And it already hit. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah. He's not, probably not going to play.
Probably not going to play.
Here's my bet on that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too. So that sucks because he looked a lot better than I anticipated he was going to.
It's like they gave him all that money and they decided to use him.
They did, and he looked
good. That's why I was a big fan of Myers this year. I got him cheap. Yeah. I'm glad. And now I'm sad.
Now it's going to be Hunter Renfrow.
Well, at least it's just I don't want to say just a concussion, but at least as far as long-term productivity goes, it's not a soft tissue issue. So there's that.
True. That's true. That's true.
Feel good story of the week. Tariq Cohen is reentering the NFL, signing with the Panthers practice squad. So he'll start his comeback journey. Good for him if you followed that. And for the Colts and their running back watch, Evan Hull to IR, Zach Moss to return. Jake Funk has been promoted. So a little bit of rotating there. Deion Jackson, I believe, dominated in touches, but looked terrible doing it. So this is wide open. Go look at Jake Funk's player profiler page if you're not initiated. He's actually pretty freaking athletic. He was an older draft pick, but he's pretty freaking athletic. So,
yeah, Deion Jackson's done. It's Zach Moss until Jonathan Taylor gets back, I feel.
It's literally nothing because Zach Moss also fucking sucks. This is like Buffalo again, where Zach Moss sucks so much. Deion Jackson's the new Devin Singletary. But quickly do we know that Deion Jackson also sucks. Well, Zach Moss just remains Zach Moss.
Yep.
Mind blown.
All right. And I don't think I missed anything in the news. So week one recap. So what we're supposed to do here is pick one thing a piece to highlight from a previous week. I don't know if you guys did that or not. I got so I'm going to just go ahead and start. And then if you did, great.
I got one thing.
Okay. So my biggest thing from week one is the number of things that I was surprised by, which is not Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams, there was enough smoke there where I'm like, okay, I'm not surprised by that. But the surprises from week one, I just kind of want to run through a few of them, kind of see what surprised you guys the most and where you land on, you know, which one of these things is like something that you expect to maybe continue. Which one are you buying the most? So a couple of things that shocked me. Josh Kelly seeing 17 carries for 91 yards and actually having split usage. Tyler Allgeier seeing the amount of carries he did Going for 78 and two touchdowns, even with the high pick on Bijan, he looked like a usable piece. And as long as he does that, you know, lower than expected Gibbs usage, 15 Puka Nacua targets, Tutu Atwell clearing 100 yards, Ridley coming back after 2 years with no rust and actually looking really, really good. Michael Pittman hit double digits in targets with a run first quarterback, something he struggled to do last year. Jacoby Myers with a massively hot start before getting concussed. Zay Flowers being heavily, heavily involved right from the get-go. What surprised you guys the most about week one, and kind of what performance are you buying the most out of these week one guys? What are you willing to chase?
Josh Kelly, the one that I think Brian brought it up, is the guy he's been targeting. Austin Eckler has said it for the last couple of years. He does not want to reach 300 plus touches. That's not his game. He does not want to be his game. He wants to be able to play longer and be effective with the touches that he gets. Of course, while saying that, now he's not practicing. So, you know, Kelly was, you know, fourth round pick from a few years back. Hasn't quite found his footing yet, but if the offense under Kellen Moore now is going to help unlock his skill set. Only one target. So that's it. The unhopeful downfall is he's going to make up his production on the ground because he's going to be zero receiving. If Eckler is to miss time, I guess we'll see. You know, Kelly did have a pass catching profile coming out of UCLA. but yeah, he's the one. It's the offense you want to target. High volume, should be high scoring. And if he's going to look efficient like he did, I'm buying that. And that's the guy, as Ryan mentioned, that's the guy I want to chase, not the 5 foot, 875 pound Kieran Williams, Josh Kelly.
Another one I want to chase is Bijan Robinson, just because I don't see Tyler Allgeier doing this every freaking week.
No, he's going to be, he's involved.
And it's the same point with Bijan as it is for Gibbs, right? They're starting them slow. They're going to work them in more as you go, and you will see that get cut into. But as long as Montgomery and Allgeier are effective, they're going to hold on to a role. I agree. I don't think he obviously, it's safe to say he's not going to go for, what was it, two touchdowns, 15 touches. Like, he's not going to go for 15, 75, and two every week.
Right? It's going to flip-flop eventually.
It will. It will. You're absolutely right. But your early season, sure. I mean, most leagues I was in, people actually seemed to buy what Atlanta was selling, that he was going to be involved early. I don't think he was available in a lot of places, but yeah.
It was a late round. I think the flex role stays. It's Arthur Smith. This is a man that wants to give his running backs, not just Bijan, like, they're going to out-touch. And like, it's their game. It's on his, and you know, they're in the NFC South, so it's not going to be a high power division. They're not playing against high power teams. So if they run their game, control the clock, do what they did, you know, against the Panthers, which, let's, you know, face it, the NFC South doesn't have one team that wants to push pace. Like, Allgeier's got flex value moving forward. And then if something happens to Bijan,
why don't they just run the Wildcat, because they don't want to throw it anymore? Because it doesn't make sense. I mean,
they only threw the ball 18 times, and that was worse than last year.
Fuck this team.
And that's one of the other surprises too, right? Is you got a dud out of Drake London, like, not just a bad performance, like a straight zero out of London.
I'm not concerned about Higgins with this dud. The Bengals look
no. I'm concerned about London though, because of how they want to run the offense. Yeah.
That's, like, again, probably the worst allocation of draft picks I've seen, like, outside of, like, Green Bay's run. It's why are you taking in the top seven a freak tight end and a freak receiver and then choosing to not get him involved in their offense? It's fucking insane to me. Like, they won. That's great. They're going to act like this is the right move. But it's, you know, for fantasy, we have to, obviously, as you guys mentioned, we have to take this into context moving forward as a low volume that's even lower than I expected. Like, I thought they'd throw a little bit more, but
yeah, it'll be interesting to watch to see if that increases in negative game scripts. But yeah,
those run the ball even more.
Depends who they play. Like, they're going to be
on who they play.
It's going to be they have the right division to make this happen far more than we wanted to.
Yeah. And then they'll be dumb enough to pick up both fifth-year options on Pitts and London, too.
Yeah.
We're all praying that they trade Pitts. For the love of God, please trade Pitts. Trade him to Kansas City. Like, there you go. Here's your Travis Kelce replacement.
I think the surprises I'm most willing to buy are going to be Ridley's performance coming back. Mm-hmm. Supremely talented in a good scheme.
Great offense, too.
Good quarterback, good offense. So I totally buy into that. The fear was that there would be rust there, and how much was, you know, how that split between him and Christian Kirk, who are similar types of players, but that got answered real quick.
They got him involved right away. I think that's also important. Yeah. Like, they got his confidence and they got him in rhythm too. That was very smart on Doug Peterson's front, is to get really involved right away.
Well, and the other piece I'm going to buy into, at least initially, is Jacoby Myers. I, like you said, Dan, you pay him a bunch of money. He's back with an offensive coordinator that believed in him enough when he was drafted. You know, with a quarterback that, well, I don't think they played together, but
no.
They missed each other. But in any event, like, that's harder to ignore. I mean, I know Davante Adams is there and he's going to get his. That's the thing you worry about with Myers versus Ridley, who could just straight be the alpha. But I think that any fears about Myers being irrelevant because he lands in a similar role to Hunter Renfro, you can probably put those to bed. It's not going to be that explosive every week. That upside was really surprising, but I expect that the floor you got used to in New England will potentially still be there.
I mean, he's, again, you know, I've been preaching that at least the last couple of years, like, you're targeting teams with the right division makeup to help these game script be pushed forward, right? Yeah. Raiders have to throw the football to be able to keep up with the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, probably not as much as we saw, but even then it worked for them. And just the teams that they play with also within the AFC, it's like, they paid him a bunch of money. He's paired back up with the coordinator that knows his game and a team that's going to throw a lot. And he was a double-digit round pick, and it was an easy smash every time. Like, it's just, hopefully he doesn't miss, you know, too many games. But yeah, I agree.
Indeed. All right. Dan, you said you had one.
It's mine's not going to be about particular players. So this is about what we see almost, it happens every year, right? Overreaction. We talked about not overreacting last week to the previews. Mm-hmm. What do people do? We're going to overreact. We overreacted to the weirdness of week one. Like, it was fucking weird.
This is literally my preview advice going into this week, which is don't chase points and don't tilt.
Yeah, it's literally this. It's, yes, we love seeing some of these players, you know, come out. And yes, we love the late round flyer that we touted has a nice game. Like, that's good. I'm happy for you. Say your piece. Move the fuck on. Like, we have 16 more games, and we have yet to figure out who a lot of these teams are. In fact, we don't know who any of these teams are. Don't overreact. Don't overdrop. Don't be the guy out there dropping Dallas Goedert because he had zero. Don't drop T. Higgins because he had zero targets.
Don't drop Drake London because he had zero targets.
It's one of those situations where you're going to find it. It won't happen as much in your, you know, hyper-competitive leagues, but in your home leagues, take advantage of that if that happens. But don't be that person. Don't be the person that thinks because, you know, Drake London had zero targets or zero catches and threw the ball 18 times, that's going to be the norm every week. Like, adjust your expectation for the offense, but still know that this is that.
Does anyone know exactly when J.C. Horn got hurt? Because that's the other piece there too, right? That's a tough matchup.
I think he's always hurt.
So good though, but yeah,
that's a tough matchup though. If he was playing the majority of the game, I don't know specifically when he went out, but
and Ritter, I don't expect Ritter to be aggressive. Like, it's
oh no, not at all.
They don't want him to be aggressive, especially when they're in the league. Yeah,
he's literally like, Ritter is actually a really good comp to Ryan Tannehill.
Like, I love people's comm stuff. He is, he's Marcus Mariota and Alex Smith. He's game manager, quarterback with some mobility upside to him.
That's exactly what Ryan Tannehill was for Arthur Smith. Yeah. Like, it's a great comparison to draw. But yeah, I'm with you. That was actually my advice for going into this is
Don't blow all your fab. Like,
don't chase points. Don't blow your full wad in week one.
That is, especially with fab, it's a really good thing to have more money than everyone else when it comes to fab in those later weeks where those pickups mean a lot more. Like, I know we want to chase some of these guys because it looks great now, and we're like, oh, I can get Justin Forsett, or I can get the next Miles Austin. Like, chances are these guys are going to bust and become nothing. Most times we're going to get Kyle Phillips.
Right. We had a great week one and has been on IR ever since.
I mean, I feel bad because he's been hurt, but he also.
And I loved him too coming out of college. I was like, oh man, Kyle Phillips is great.
I get it. It's your favorite late round flyer that hits. And then.
But getting hurt
comes a pumpkin again.
Change my long term outlook on somebody.
I'm not talking about that either. Yeah.
He was doing good in preseason. Like, he was doing good in the preseason, like, definitely slot, and then gets injured. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Never going to win.
Sucks.
Yeah. That's
Ryan, you got anything from a recap for last week that you would like to discuss?
Jahmyr Gibbs, man, and the way he can break tackles. Holy crap.
He should have scored, man. He should have had the touchdown.
So
he,
like,
overran himself.
Mm-hmm. His broken tackles were ridiculous. He has 6 broken tackles already just in one game. And I want to say Swift had 24.
Fumble.
And then Jamal Williams had 30.
4.
Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. So I say DeAndre Swift had 24, and then Jamal Williams had 30 all of last season. And Jahmyr Gibbs already is up to 6. So it's.
Isn't he supposed to run away from contact? Isn't that his whole field? Like, why are you running the contact?
Jahmyr Gibbs. It is. You can't avoid it.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Like, I watched him spin move 3 people out of their shoes.
Yeah. He is.
He hit him.
He's going to have fun. My son's obsessed with him already.
My son wants to be him now.
He should be obsessed with him.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing I want to say about Gibbs. The hot reaction after Thursday night was free Gibbs. Why is this happening? The Lions are idiots. You spend this high of a pick, you're not using him more. And my response to this is pretty simple. You got 1-for-1 replacements in Montgomery for Williams and Gibbs for Swift.
Montgomery is a definite upgrade.
If you expected something different after they went out and paid Montgomery, you are not paying attention to the way they wanted to use their backs last year. Gibbs will see that touch count go up, right? He's going to get more than 7 carries. He's going to get targets. David Montgomery is not going to end up completely phased out, though. And if you were expecting something different, you were paying no attention to their offseason. You were paying no attention to how things went when Swift was healthy last year. You did not watch at all how this team wants to operate. And that's your own damn fault. That's not the fault of the Lions for not doing it. That's your own fault for not paying attention to them. This is why Dan faulted them for going up and spending a first-round pick on Jahmyr Gibbs. Is because of how they've used that type of player. You're spending that high for somebody that's going to be a role player. Like, that's why Dan was on their ass about it. Not because of the talent of Gibbs. This is how they want to run the offense, though. So if you're expecting Gibbs to take over as a bell cow, that's not going to happen. That's not how they run the offense, and that's not how he's built either.
No, the last thing you want to see is him getting 300 carries. At least for his long-term outlook.
No, I could see 150 for Gibbs, and Dave Montgomery is going to be well over 200. So it's going to be a whole scheme because, like you were already saying, Chris, it's going to be – they're going to inch him in more and more. So each week he's going to get more and more play. I mean, you can only do so much because you're already relying on Amon-Ra St. Brown. You have no Jameson Williams. You're trying to figure out how to get this offense rolling because, I mean, with the preseason, you might as well consider week one and week two the rest of the remaining preseason. These offenses are still trying to figure themselves out.
Yeah, they are.
So just be calm, you know? we gotta just take it easy with it and just kind of understand what they're trying
to
do.
You know what the Lions should do? You know what the Lions should do? We should be on the phone with Tampa Bay about Mike Evans. They need a vertical threat. Jameson suspended. I'm not obviously writing the books off on him, but this is clearly will be a playoff team that clearly needs something vertical. Evans obviously Reynolds. Something vertical.
Reynolds isn't vertical. We'll talk to Reynolds here in a second, though.
It's frustrating how much praise that team has gotten, and there's just some of the little things. Some of like the first round draft this year for them, very questionable. I've not been shy of that, but
yeah,
the wide receiving core, like this team could be like perfect for what they need. Is someone that can attack vertically and win, and trying to make a move for a guy like Evans would be. It sucks that Tampa Bay lost. It might make it a little harder for them to do that. But fuck, he doesn't even want to be there in the first place. They won't give him his goddamn money.
Tampa Bay won, right?
Yeah, it'd be Minnesota.
Yeah.
You said Tampa Bay. Okay, so you said
it. Yeah, I'm saying it because they won. They might not be inclined. But yeah, it's that was a move I've been thinking about all offseason. Had they made that move, it's not going to cost them a first. I don't even know if it would cost them a second or third. But I would love that. Not maybe more so for him, but for his role and to help be a mentor for Williams. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yep. Be interesting to watch as we close to the trade deadline. The Lions could definitely be looking for receiver depth, but I'm with you on that. All right. Anything else?
Garrett Wilson.
That costs a little bit more than what they
see that happen. And I was gonna actually
that'd be great though. That'd be fun though.
Depth charts for options though, and yeah, I mean that one actually makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
If Seattle sucks, would DK potentially be available? He didn't resign, right?
I think he resigned last year, right? I think he got his contract last year,
but it's affordable. Yeah,
some food for thought. Just things I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit does if they can't get what they want out of Jameson.
We'll get Brandon Ayuk maybe.
What a great game too,
right?
Yeah, but San Francisco isn't going to fade hard enough, I don't think, for that to be a reality.
No,
he's taking over as the one this year too. By the way, Ayuk is like I'm a full believer in that. People were on it last year, and it started to happen about middle of last year. So
remember that time where he was in the doghouse? That was a great time to be alive.
I enjoyed it. All right, beer review. Anything else on week one before we go to week two?
No.
Great.
Beer review.
All right, one of y'all can start. Dan, you can start. I've had pumpkin smash. What are you drinking? Pumpkin smasher?
I'm drinking New Holland's Ichabod.
Oh, Ichabod. Okay. Yeah, why don't pumpkin you go ahead and start, because I've had that beer before. I'm interested in what Ryan has to say about the Old Nation, but I have to piss. So,
yeah. Again, this is just a pumpkin ale. So, ale with spices inspired to give off pumpkin flavor, cinnamon. Drawing blanks of other ones that are generally used in this, but I've drank through two of these because I got home early and started watching the game. I'm gonna need more after the shit show that they're putting on now, but just a great representation of the pumpkin style. Not overly heavy when it comes to the spices that are being used. And generally not as heavy of an alcohol percentage as most pumpkin beers are. This one only clocks in at 4.5%. A lot of pumpkin beers like the range that 8. The 8+ range, which is just insane. So one that is crushable, one that allows you to enjoy the pumpkin flavor while also not overindulging in it. It's a really good option, and no wonder why this one's touted as one of the better ones.
Sorry, the can is actually very similar to Pumpkin Smasher if you look at the pattern on the front.
Yeah. Also, isn't Pumpkin Smasher in bottles? Right,
it comes in bottles, but the label is
okay.
Really,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the orange on the red with the shape of it and everything. It's real similar.
Yep.
Ryan?
So I had Old Nations Brewing Oktoberfest, and it comes in 5.7, which I thought was kind of high, because aren't most like of your Oktoberfest like 4.5, 4.6, 4.7-ish range?
No, I'll get you what the actual... I'll get you what the range is here in just a second. I mean, yes, but I think they can range up to high fives. What'd you say that one is?
5.7.
5.7? That does seem a touch high.
Right? That's what I thought.
Because the idea of Oktoberfest, because they're festival beers, is that they're supposed to be crushable, which usually you want lower ABV. The style's okay. So, no. Style for Marzen is 5.6 to 6.3. So, it's right there.
Yeah, which is what this exactly is, a Marzen. And, like, it definitely had, like, a nice head on to it. Like, it came up very thick, very heavy. You actually smell the aromas of it, and you can kind of smell like a nutty type of sweet honey type of smell to it too. And actually, it tastes like good and crisp too. Where it's like where you said about the whole smashing thing. Like I could smash this right now, but it's just like it doesn't hurt or anything. It's very smooth, and the sweetness like kind of gives like a balance with the hops that are added into it.
Hearing him describe that sounds like it's a really fucking good one.
Dude, I really like it, actually, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not a fan of honey, but, like, this honey I actually like, because it's, like, the sweetness of it is mellowed out.
Yeah, so in a lot of German beers, there's a process called a double decoction mash, or a decoction mash, depending on how much they want to extract. And what you end up with is something called melanoidins, and those actually give beer a really, really like rich kind of sweet characteristic, which is reminiscent of mellowed out honey. That's where some Oktoberfest get their, kind of their caramely type of characteristic. But that richness you get out of it is actually part of brewing technique. So, like, I love to hear that. Let's see if I stumble into some. We get some Old Nation distribution over here, just not a bunch of it.
Yeah, we don't see enough.
It hits first, like you're like, oh man, this is great. Like, and then it just goes down smooth, and it's like it's not overbearing after that, or you're like, oh my god. And then that's where the smashing side of it comes in, even though it's at 5.7.
Yeah. See if I can find some of that. All right.
We got a question
before I jump into yours.
Yeah. Isaiah wants to know, should I trade Calvin Ridley and Lamar Jackson for Stephon Diggs? I don't got more context than that. You're obviously not making this trade in super flex leagues. So I'm going off the idea of Diggs' core settings. Single QB, PPR.
It still might be a no on that.
Yeah, I still want more, because I think Calvin Ridley is going to smash again this week. And then I feel like you'd be able to get more. For even more from than that, because he's eventually going to start slowing down. I feel like he's going to have a matchup.
Is it if he's the true one in that offense, right? The difference of him and Jackson versus Diggs, I mean, that's...
You should aim higher if you're looking to try to move off release. Jamar Chase would be, like, and to be dead serious, like, Chase, the Bengals coming off of a really bad week. Obviously, if the guy has Jamar Chase, then you won't do it. But I think Chase is the ideal target. That I think if you're going to try to upgrade from Ridley using your quarterback, which I'm assuming then you have a good second QB. Like, I know we can stream quarterbacks. Lamar's coming off of a pretty bad week himself. Like all the starting quarterbacks, if it felt like in week one, but
a lot of them, yeah, there are only five of them or so that actually had decent weeks. So
I agree with you. Just Jacksonville's offense should be very explosive. Buffalo Diggs will get his own too, right?
There's a lot of separation between those two, at least based on what we saw in week one. I mean, Ridley hasn't played in 2 years, but if it continues that way, I don't know that there's enough separation there for me to want to include Jackson in a deal like that.
It's an upgrade from Calvin for sure, just given the history, what we know about Diggs, and you know, trying to capitalize off of a big game from Ridley, who could also fall back down to earth. I was high on Ridley coming into this season.
We were high on him going into the season when all the bullshit happened.
Dude. Yeah. And it was, I was high on Jacksonville's offense. They were my hot take, dark horse, number one seed in the AFC. I bought into Jacksonville. I don't know if I'm ready to offload him for Diggs. If I can get Chase, if I can get CeeDee Lamb, potentially, like, I want someone that's going to draw me a lot of targets. I know Diggs will too, but I don't know. It might not end up being the right call, but
I think
no, I would not move him for Diggs.
For me to sum it up, I'm also on the no side of this. If you firmly believe in Diggs as being that much better of an asset than what Ridley is, then I don't think the value is that far off necessarily, but personal preference, I don't think I would do it.
Ryan, where are you at?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I still think you can get...
Does it matter who his other quarterback is? Does it matter who his other quarterback is in this case?
It matters who... Is it one QB or two?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is not super flex. So I'm assuming in a one QB league, which is... I'm going off assumptions because this would be...
Well, if it's not super flex, then no, because you shouldn't have another quarterback. Unless it's...
Well, dynasty. I mean... Unless
that's why I'm asking the question, yes.
Like, if you have Anthony Richardson, then, like, yeah, I'd be like, okay, I'd be willing to move off of this just to see what happens.
I wanted a victory lap that so fucking hard. I was like, nope, Dan.
You got to have at least 3 weeks for a victory lap.
Like, give me some time. It was against Jacksonville. They kept up. It was good.
We'll see
what they look like against Houston.
I messaged you about Kyren Williams just because it was funny, not because I can actually do it.
I know.
I haven't victory lapped it on the show yet.
I was also pretty reeling from the Vikings loss. I was just like, I don't fucking know what to do with life.
See, now I'm kind of sad I don't have Prime because I can't watch Kelsey after this game.
I'll get to watch. I mean, you're not really mentioning the game. Fucking Vikings, oof.
No, right. I'm watching the game. I can't watch the Kelsey documentary.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm sad about. Anyway, I had Schottenheimer. I think is how you say that. Schottenheimer. Whatever that means, I don't speak German. This is an Eisbach lager, 10%. Again, if you're just tuning in, Eisbachs are typically created by... freeze distillation. So you brew a bock, you freeze it, you siphon off the unfrozen part, and you have a higher alcohol beer, more concentrated flavors. For this one, there's a good amount of chocolate on the nose. Between dark chocolate, milk chocolate with a bit of caramel. At 10%, you definitely get some fusels jumping out of the glass, but they're not hard. They're not, they're not off-putting or anything like that. As you drink it, the malt provides a nice balance and a nice mask for the alcohol. The alcohol is definitely there on the back end, but again, it doesn't drink hot. So, like, you can tell from the mouthfeel that this is a high alcohol beer, but it doesn't drink hot. It doesn't burn. There's no harshness to it at all. There is definitely some richness from the malt character there, but yeah. Overall, I think it's a really, really good. No, I'm getting through my fucking beer review. We already got.
I'm sorry. No.
I don't give a.
I didn't say nothing.
Fuck what happened, Ryan.
he'll keep talking so he can watch it on his streams.
On my stream, which is definitely a couple of plays behind.
Yeah.
right. So anyway, overall, this is a good example of the style. You don't see this one a lot. This is only the second commercially available Eisbach I've seen. One of them was an import from some place in one of the Nordic countries. But yeah, very, very much a fan of this. Pollyanna did a really good job with it. Be aware if you stumble into this, it is going to be warmer. It is going to be higher alcohol content. It's not harsh though. There's a reason they only sell it in two packs though. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Those will fuck you up, man. Icebox are fun. If you ever get a hand on them, they're, I'm a big fan of them.
Dan was celebrating a Jordan Addison touchdown. I just got there.
It was big throw too.
Big Jordan Addison touchdown.
Big 62 yarder bomb. Perfect, damn near perfect pass. All 185 of them broke a tackle to get in. Just kind of walked in. I'm like, all right, Addison back to back weeks touchdown. Throw him in your flex.
Good eye discipline from Cousins. Yep.
It's been an ugly fucking game. 4 turnovers. Jalen Hurst has robbed 2 touchdowns from Swift. Like Swift literally
with his 1 yard.
After their
4th
turnover, he literally fell at the half yard line. I'm like, Swift about to lose another fucking touchdown, man.
He is.
He's been having a hell of a fucking game. He should be killing it. And
the QB sneaks.
I mean, honestly,
they get on the half yard line and they're just like, all right, we're going to push
every team should be running that play. No matter who your fucking quarterback is, like, it's like until they, you know, create a rule where you can't push the quarterback from behind, that's the play you run.
I honestly don't know how many other teams find themselves on the half yard line that aren't the Eagles to be able to run that play.
I feel like it's them in like Buffalo with Allen early on in his career. Felt like it was.
How are you always
or like Cam Newton too? Yeah, it was just.
Yeah, how are you always right directly short of the goal line?
Like, why do your running backs get tackled at the half yard mark every time? It's like every Jamal time. Williams, but you know, with the quarterback.
But quarterback wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the preview. So typically we'll round robin this to pick one thing to highlight every week. Dan already kind of stole mine, which was don't chase points, don't tilt. So probably had some good waiver wire pickups. There's some good things that happen, some good guys to watch, some guys that disappointed you. You don't have any patterns yet in week 2. There are things like guys that get 17 carries and 15 targets where, yeah, you're going to believe that is real. But you also have to understand that Romeo Doubs isn't going for 2 touchdowns every week, right, on 24 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. And you got to understand that, I guess Swift's already playing, but that, you know, they didn't throw him money for him to get one carry. Or whatever it was last week, that was pretty ridiculous. And you have to understand
1 carry and 2 targets.
Yeah, and you have to understand that Jahmyr Gibbs wasn't a round 1 pick to only get 7 carries and break 19 tackles on those 7 carries. So, you know, that's what comes in here. Like, things take a bit to settle in the NFL, and in the fantasy season, you are like. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right? You've got 14, 15 weeks of regular season. You're in one of them. You're in week 1. So my advice here is basically don't tilt. Take your new information. Use it responsibly. Don't necessarily go chasing points from guys like Dobbs that did 2 touchdowns on nothing. You're going to have some of that. So yeah, that's kind of my thing that I want to highlight coming out of week 1 into week 2. I got some juicy matchups for you later, but we'll get to Dan and Ryan and then cover whatever the delta is.
Don't drop players just because they had a bad week.
Yes.
Just to drop them, you know? Like I had people ask me, you know, I'm going to try to drop Pat Freiermuth. No, don't drop Pat Freiermuth. It was San Francisco 49ers. Relax. It's just the first week.
And actually, as far as tight ends go, he didn't have that bad of week, right?
Like, he was like a top tight guy. But
then
worst week of tight ends I've ever seen.
I had someone even ask me, should I drop Evan Ingram right now? I'm like, don't drop Evan Ingram either.
No.
I'm like, he was like one of the most efficient tight ends all last week. It's like, relax, people. Just take a breather. Just look at the teams. Kind of understand.
Tight ends all look like they suck. Who are you dropping them for?
Another one that sucks.
who the fuck? Let me know who the fuck you're dropping Evan Ingram or Pat Freiermuth for. Just let me know who. Like in our fictional chat, let me know who the fuck are you dropping him for?
Especially on a week that had no Andrews and Kelsey.
Yeah,
like, he's like dropping him for like Josh Kelly and stuff like that.
I think
like,
one tight end or 2 tight ends scored a touchdown too. So it's not like
are you chasing
these guys popped up?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like, you're not going to go out there and get Adam Trautman, who was already the starter anyways.
And people are freaking out though because they see 0-1, they think, oh my god, my season's over. I know, yes, it's over from here on out. I have nothing to do. I'm trading everything away. I'm done.
Why did this happen to me?
Yeah, it's like people. I've been 0-5, 0-6, and I've made it to championships with that. So.
All right, can I give you guys some fun tight end stats?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, your top three target getters for tight ends were Zach Ertz, T.J. Hockenson, Logan Thomas.
Hey, good for Logan Thomas.
Good for Logan Thomas, right? 43 yards. No touchdowns. Is the high water mark. Zach Ertz had 10 targets and 21 yards for a tight end. Your 10? Highest, yeah, 10 for 21 yards. Christ. Your highest yard getter at tight end was Hunter Henry with 56. Your second was Luke Musgrave.
Yeah, Luke.
Evan Engram, who Ryan just got asked about dropping, was third. Kyle Pitts, who were just bitching wasn't involved enough, was sixth.
I love fantasy football.
I love fantasy football. This is what I live for when Zach Ertz gets 10 targets and 21 yards. come on. Just try Trey McBride just a little bit.
Yeah. Hunter Henry and Hayden Hurst were your top two tight ends as far as points go. T.J. Hockenson had 8 receptions for 35 yards. He was great in PPR. For 35.
Yeah.
Donald Parham, who was undrafted, caught a touchdown and was your tight end 3 on the week.
Yeah. Love fantasy football. Just like disc golf. This is like...
Your mic died.
I know it did. Okay. I'll keep seeing it.
You want to know who your top 12 tight ends were last week? You ready for this? Hunter Henry, Hayden Hurst, T.J. Hockenson, Donald Parham, Evan Engram, Cole Kmet, Blake Bell, Sam Laporta, Harrison Bryant, Adam Trautman, Logan Thomas, Zach Ertz.
Love it.
Three of those are top 12 drafted tight ends.
Love it. This is why I love. So this is why I play.
You're
fine. This is why we play. Oh, yeah.
That's why we play. All right. So I'll give my advice. Find every single high-end player that had a bad week.
Trade for
him. You can get a trade for him. I'm serious. Like
Joe Burrow?
Go out there and see.
Joe Burrow?
Just a little leak worm because we talk about this. Ryan mentioned, guys, he's getting questions about that seems so obvious why we should not do it. There's people like this in your leagues, you know, even in our own leagues. Like, we all play in a bunch of, you know, hyper-competitive industry leagues, even with their friends that really take advantage of our knowledge. Like, you will still find people that are willing to move off of players. Find Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to – and just see what's there, right? You're going to see a lot of articles out there saying trade him. For what?
Yeah, I'll take him.
Is his value going? Like, he just lost his quarterback. What do you think you're going to get for him?
Josh Jacobs had 9 points after missing all of training camp.
Boom. There you go.
Give me Josh Jacobs.
Fine.
Saquon Barkley had a shitty game.
Barkley, terrible game. Yeah, it was
fine. Find these guys. As Ryan mentioned, quarterbacks too. Like, this was a oddly bad week for most of our favorite starters in streaming.
All of them. They all sucked.
Like, it was week one. This week one was fucking weird.
Josh Emmer had 4 turnovers.
Well, that's not that weird, but
Brock Purdy and Sam Howell were top.
Yeah. See if you can move Brock Purdy for, like, I don't know, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like, see if it works. Maybe go Brock Purdy, man. Kyle Shanahan.
That sounds like a family league thing type of move.
Honestly, you see it used, like, not even just in family leagues, like, or work leagues. You see that happen for people that just want to get cute.
Yeah.
Or guys that are, like, really convicted to their, like, takes, like, they Brock Purdy QB1, and they miss on him. They'll now trade Joe Burrow for him because
Joe Burrow was legitimately your QB 32 out of 32 starters.
That game was, well, watching it with my, you know, my good friend, but also my best friend's fiance. She was having a rough time.
Jen.
She was like Nick and I when we were watching the Vikings. But it was worse because it was like they imploded. But for some reason, the Bengals don't play well against the Browns, especially Burrow. So again, go out there and see if you can take their overreaction and make it your gain.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice to give. Also, as these guys mentioned, you know, don't you overreact in that direction either, but take advantage of the ones that do.
Yep. All right, some juicy matchups. Chargers against the Titans. I like that one this week. Saints versus the Panthers with no J.C. Horn. The Lions against the Seahawks. Also, Patriots and Dolphins. Don't sleep on that one either. We'll get to that here in a minute. Dolphins, you just gave up a fuckload of points to the Chargers, especially on the ground. Patriots got a couple good backs and had a passing game, passing day better than anyone could have possibly expected. So those are the matchups that you want to target, in my opinion. Anything to add to that?
You said Detroit, Seattle, which is like,
yeah,
that's a game I can't wait to watch.
I absolutely. That one's like, no, just like last year. I think when they played last year, they went for like almost 80 total points. Not much has changed. I mean, Detroit's defense plays a lot better, but these are the sneaky shootout games that maybe that don't get highlighted. Like this isn't the Chiefs in Jacksonville where everyone thinks it's going to be the shootout to happen.
Yeah.
Detroit, Baltimore, yep. Cincy, like,
yep.
There's yep. going to be games yeah. where you have, you know, two good offenses competing, like.
And for Seattle, that gets chalky, but for the Lions, that means somebody like Josh Reynolds who, you know, had some chunk plays last round. Guess what? You can feel pretty good about starting that this week. If you got a guy that's injured, hurt, underperformed, and you're not sure about, like, that's an option for you. Rashid Shaheed with the Saints is something that I feel like you can chase. Mike Williams. Never recommend that, but here we are. So, like, those are some of the juicy matchups, some things to be careful with. Rams versus the Niners, not for the Niners, but for the Rams, you know, with yes. Atwell and Puka Nacua putting up 100-yard, double-digit target performances, much tougher matchup. And then Jets Cowboys, both defenses came out and put on a show in their week one performances. So be weary about both of those.
Green Bay, Atlanta.
It's another one.
Honestly, if you're not the running backs,
don't play them.
I wouldn't play the quarterbacks. I wouldn't play the receivers. Won't play the tight. I mean, I play Pitts because you have to, but this would be like you can sit Drake London this week.
Yep. And I am.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Like, it's this.
Go to timeout, especially in a rough matchup. Go to timeout.
This is going to be slow pace. It's going to be a lot of long drives. Both defenses look good against pretty bad offenses in week one. And yep. It's going to be one of those. Both teams want to slow the game down. They want to keep the ball in their end. So it's going to expect low scoring and not a lot of plays.
Yep. All right. That's all I got on that front. You all ready for streamers or anything else in the game side?
No, we're good.
All right. So the streamer I want to highlight, remember this is any position guys that I think should be on waivers. Kendrick Bourne is where I want to lean on this one. I mentioned Reynolds as a bonus earlier. Kendrick Bourne had 2 touchdowns last week. He tied for the team lead in targets. New England's about to go up against Miami, who, you know, again, they gave up a lot on the ground to the Chargers, but New England came out for 300 plus yards passing, looked like a much, much better offensive team with a real offensive coordinator in place. And Kendrick Bourne's actually been on a little bit of a decent hot streak going back to last season. So if you're looking for wide receiver help, Kendrick Bourne's not a bad pick him up and start him this week. I'd imagine with the Dolphins' explosive offense, they're going to have to try to push the pace and push balls downfield anyway. He's been the Patriots' most explosive receiver going back into last season.
Ryan, you can go.
I agree.
Yeah, you're supposed to give a player there, buddy. Not just. I mean, you can give a take on Kendrick Bourne if you got a take opposite of mine or different or want to like be like, yeah, man, you're really smart, but you're supposed to give a player there too. That's kind of a point of that segment.
No, I know. I'm just fucking like, yeah, I agree. We're trying to like see like the short ads and touchdown. It's just like, wow, Kirk Cousins underthrew him, so he actually had to stop and catch it.
He's also getting smoked as he threw it,
big time.
Yeah.
One player I'm kind of curious about is Marquise Brown, because you know, like everyone was all hyping him up over during the offseason, basically saying like, you know, he's like he had this wide receiver one trait, And then he basically does nothing. Michael Wilson was the main guy who was on the field the whole entire time. I still have faith in Marquise Brown. Don't give up on him just because the quarterback there and the whole team looks like crap. I'm definitely for Michael Wilson. I mean, he's definitely someone who's worth stashing. But still put him in your lineups. He's easily still a wide receiver 3 flex type of play.
I have a bruise. Even
against the New York Giants.
On my tricep, and I don't know how that got there. I just saw it in the camera. That's why
you have a
posing.
Bruise in your tricep.
How'd you do that?
Wait.
Are you sure it's just not the lighting?
Yeah, that's why I was moving around weirdly. Is that Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I did that.
I just noticed it, and I can't really see that part of my arm. So, anyway, who's your streamer again? Sorry.
Marquise Brown. Basically, the Arizona Cardinal wide receivers, just because they're going to try to play catch up.
Yeah. Dan?
I'm going to go with not so much stream, but a guy you should definitely be start throwing on your list, and Hopper's going to totally love this because he hates this player. We're going to go with Sean Tucker with the Bucs. And this is a lot to do with the inefficiency of the Bucs running game and Rashad White. And the amount of work that Tucker got, snaps he took away. Chicago is a matchup where you could start to see him get a little more work running in. We get to see if White's going to be the guy in this, and if he can, you know, take a good matchup and run with it. So not it's a guy you need to run out and stream, but a guy that you can throw on the watch list as someone we could be talking about in week 2 as a potential pickup.
You tell me I'm going to hate him, but I actually drafted him late one place. And the thing is opportunity.
Because it's because I told you to.
Well,
but
yeah,
without telling you to.
I think the other thing is that opportunity matters more for running backs than talent for the most part.
Especially in redraft, yes.
Yeah, and that's why Kyren Williams is like a thing right now. And so, yeah, I don't hate the take because he's next guy up, right?
Yeah.
What I hated during the draft process is that people were singing him as some massive sleeper, and I didn't see it in the film. It was a similar situation to like Cam Akers, Rashad Penny, guys like that for me in years past, but opportunity matters more for running backs than anything else, and he's one injury away. So, once you get off the fact that he was, I think he was undrafted, right?
Yes,
he was undrafted his medical concern that he's been completely cleared of. Yeah,
yeah. So once you end up UDFA and a long shot to do things, that kind of changes that opinion, right? There was no draft capital, there was no expectation. So then everybody shuts the fuck up about it, and you can kind of like, all right, cool. Now I want to root for this guy. So I don't hate it. It's a lot different than the situation with Akers or Penny or whatever, where people hyped them, then they got drafted and people got major hard ons for them, and then they suck. So,
yeah.
Okay. That's the show, I think. Yeah.
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 All right. That's the show. Reminder, we are not doing Sunday live streams this year. If you have questions, please hit us up on Twitter at Beerfield. We'll be back next week to recap week 2 and preview week 3. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We appreciate the questions as they come in. Those are always fun to answer. And we will catch you next time.
Peace.
See ya.